Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Preaching, your messages die. But hey, the message is still alive. Amen. I can get through the sermon if I didn't have my notes. Amen. But it's always better to be prepared. Hallelujah. Let me know when you're ready back there. It's going? All right. Let's go ahead and open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for another day that you blessed us, dear God, to come together, dear God, worship and praise you, but also come together to be fed, oh God. I thank you, dear God, that you placed us here for such a time as this. Oh God, even with some of the things that are going on in our world right now, dear God, we thank you, dear God, that you are still a saving God. And we pray, dear God, that your power will begin to save people, dear God. In the mighty name of Jesus, in this neighborhood, in this city, in this country, oh God, we pray to God that your power would move in Jesus' mighty name. Let the church say, amen. Hallelujah. I was preparing this sermon and God just gave me when God starts to speak, it was like a flood. He was just giving me so much information. And I was like, uh-oh, God, I know what this is. It's a series. So we're starting a brand new series on preferences. Somebody say preferences. Now, we don't hear a lot of things where people talk about preferences in the body of Christ, or I don't even want to use the word preferences. I just want to use the word preference, because a lot of times the things that you do in your life are based on your preference, right? Let's look at the quick definition of preference. I have it as a greater liking for one alternative over another or others. And they use it in a sentence, a preference for long walks and tennis over jogging, right? Now, I have a preference for, when it comes to doing cardio, I have a preference for playing basketball rather than getting on the treadmill and running for an hour or something like that. Why? Because that's what I enjoy to do versus the other thing, getting on the treadmill, it feels like a chore, right? So there's certain things that we have preferenced in our life that we will do, and then there's other things that we have preference that, hey, I'm not going to choose that. Amen? But I'm going to say this, your preference will either draw you closer to God or it'll cause you to drift away from God. Your preference will do that. Amen? Now, some people will say, well, you didn't have a choice to get saved, and I do believe that we have a choice. Why do I believe that? Because God's word says, number one, you do have to be drawn by the Holy Spirit, but you have to choose God in your own life. And there's going to be days that you're going to have to prefer God over any and every other thing that's going on right now. Amen? We were talking about in the Bible study briefly over the shooting in Oregon, and we just want to continue to pray for the families that were impacted and affected by that. But some people have said, well, if he asked me and I was in the room and if he said, hey, if you're a Christian, raise your hand or, you know what I'm saying? If not, you could just be silent, you know, and we have to prefer to say I'm a Christian despite what kind of drama. We can use the word drama. What kind of punishment will come with it? Why? Because we prefer to choose Christ. Amen. Now, we can look at the disciples, and I'm just getting started. It's going. We can look at the disciples, right? And at first, if we look at the disciples, there's many times we can go to the scriptures where Jesus had the Last Supper, and he told them, you guys are all going to be scattered. Because the Bible says there was a prophecy that the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would scatter. And Peter said, you guys remember this? Peter, I will not deny you at all. If I have to die I'm not going to deny you, right? And Jesus told him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times tonight, right? Now, let's stop and think of, at that moment, when Peter was with Jesus, his preference was for Jesus, right? His preference was, hey, Jesus, I'm ride or die, Jesus. And we have some people that say, hey, I'll do anything for you, anything, anything. Then you call them, hey, man, I need help moving. You know, I'm helping my mom and dad move. Your mom and dad, they got so much stuff. And I thought you said you'd do anything for me. Well, I can't do it. Why? Because their preference changed, right? So what happened was Jesus was betrayed by Judas. They took him down to pretty much a court, and they were judging him, Jesus, and basically Peter was there, and people were like, hey, he's with him. He's one of them. And what Peter said, no, I'm not. I don't know that guy. Right, that was one time. Another time, you guys are mistaken. Yeah, they said, oh, yeah, you look like him. You look like one of the, I mean, his clothes show that he's with him, the way he's dressing, the way, because before he preferred to dress like Jesus. You guys see that? But then he's like, no, I'm not. I'm not with him. Why? Because his preference changed because he saw that it was going to cause conflict for himself. Right? Thirdly, now not only does his speech betray him, or not only does his clothes and the way he talks, but they said the speech, I can tell that you are with him. You sound just like him. And so Peter even tried to change his speech, change the things that he said, right? So that it didn't look like he was with Jesus. Because at that moment, his preference was to save himself, right? But that we don't end there. That's a good thing, right? We don't end there. Not only did Jesus restore Peter three times when he said, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. He kept saying it three times in a row. Why? I don't know why, but maybe because God just wanted to get it right. So Peter knew that Jesus still loved him and Jesus had a plan for his life. Because a lot of people, they fall at the preferences and they feel like they can't get up. But God is always willing to restore people back to him. Amen. And one thing that we know is that every one of the disciples and even the early church died for their faith. Right? Now, I know I started with the thing in Oregon. We have to be willing to do that. That's what we signed up for, right? When you get saved, you sign up to say, it's just like a marriage, through better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness or in health. We do the same thing to God, because when you think about our relationship with God, it is a marriage. And we have to prefer God more than we prefer anything in this life, even our own life. Amen? There's a scripture that says, I was talking about it earlier this week again. It says that if you prefer to save your life, you will lose it. But he who gives his life away for my sake, I will save it. Amen? So what does that say? We should not be so concerned with saving ourselves, because we can't save ourselves to begin with. Amen. So we're starting on this preference series. I just wanted to get that out there. That wasn't even in my notes, but it was just something that God put on my heart. But one thing I do want to say is your preferences will either draw you to God or make you drift away. Amen. If a stream is flowing, it can only flow one way, right? We don't see rivers flowing backwards. Have you ever seen the Nile River? The Nile River flows up. If we looked at it, it's kind of weird, but it doesn't change directions and start flowing the other way, right? Our preferences, we have to prefer, the thing that we prefer is going to be the current in our life. We have to say, God, I want whatever it is, God, for me, I have to prefer you more than anything else. And this is what you do. You begin to ask God to help you want him even more. You have to learn to long for God more so that he becomes what you prefer. Amen. Let's go to Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 and 7. This is all where the preference thing started. Genesis chapter 3. And it says, now let's give some backdrop before we get into that. Now we know that God creates the world, right? There was a tree. God told them not to what? Eat of it. Matter of fact, he didn't even just say eat of it. He said don't touch it. All right? So and as they went on, they preferred what God gave them. Right? God said it was good. Everything that they had was good. Right? But then one day, and I preached about this not too long ago, we don't know how long this was. This could have been 50 years. You know, it could have been that marriage, you know, some people, they've been married for 50 years. They want to change. Right? They prefer something else because they don't want meatloaf for the rest of their life again. Right? You know what I'm saying? We don't know how long it is, but let me tell you this. You always have to prefer God over anything else. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. All right? So right here, I'm pretty sure, even though Eve doesn't know what death is fully, she prefers to live. Right? If I tell my kids, hey, if you touch that, you're going to get a whooping. I'm going to see what their preference is real fast. Because if they touch it, they rather get a whooping at that moment and touch it, right? Now, as they get older, they're like, I don't want a whooping. So let me just listen to my dad and not touch it, right? Because they've understood what a whooping is. So we don't know if Eve fully knew what death was, right? She never saw anything die. But her preference at that moment was to avoid death and to listen to who? God. All right? That was her preference. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. All right? Now it's interesting because another thing is, Eve and Adam and Eve, because I don't really believe that Adam was just gone. Maybe Adam was sitting back just watching the whole conversation. I wonder what she's going to do. Maybe the serpent, you know, and this is stuff we don't get to see in the Bible. Maybe the serpent came and talked to Adam before. Right? Maybe the serpent came and said, Adam, hey, try this fruit, man. You got to really try this. This is great. And Adam's like, nah. I already got great food. I'm eating what God has given me, right? But over time, right, the fruit start to taste the same, right? I mean, just imagine this. In a sinless world, every apple is going to taste the right way, right? Every peach is ripe. And guess what? They didn't even have to plant it because God allowed them to constantly grow. Just imagine endless cherries, endless grapes, And then on top of that is they didn't have stomach aches because I believe stomach aches is a result of sin, right? So they didn't have stomach problems because they were eating great food. But over time, the serpent comes in, right? And he says to the woman, "For God knows the day if you eat it, your eyes will be opened." Now, I don't know who told her her eyes wasn't open, right? But the serpent said, "Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God," something that they already were because they were created in the image and likeness of God, right? But knowing good and evil, that's something different. Because they didn't really understand what evil was, right? Knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. I don't know how she looks at some fruit and it begins. I mean, we don't eat apples and say, "This apple's going to make me smarter." Right? We don't eat an orange and say, "If I eat this orange, I'm going to know how to do origami or something." We don't think of like that. But somehow, because of deception, she saw that if I ate that fruit, that this serpent, this snake that's talking to me, that we still trying to figure out. I mean, like, time out. I got something to say. Back in the garden, I wonder if all the animals were talking. We don't know, right? The sheep weren't probably just saying bad, but at that moment they were like, "Eve, that's bad," right? That's probably what was going on. But I don't know if animals talked, but we know that God allowed animals to talk, right? When the donkey talked to Balaam to get him back. So this, I don't know if this was something that always happened in a sinless world, but she listened to a serpent, right? These are things that when we get to heaven, or when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, how many know we're actually going to be on the new earth, right? So when God creates a new earth, we can ask him these things. "Hey, God, were the animals always talking?" You know, I can't wait to hear that answer. But it says, verse 6 again, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Okay? And we're going to stop there. Why do we stop there? Because their preference changed. They preferred to do what God said until something came up. Right? Now, this is important. You must make sure that you will prefer, like, preferring God has to be something inside of you that cannot be changed regardless of your situations. Right? Because if I don't prefer God, at any moment, the same serpent that came to deceive will creep up to try to deceive you and I. Right? Because how many know that the serpent is not done deceiving? The devil is not done deceiving people. He's deceiving people every day. Listen, I drive Uber, and I told you guys, I could get a sermon out of every day that I drive Uber. One thing I like to ask people, I mean, on the weekends, I for the life of me, I don't understand why people look forward to the weekend and all they do is get drunk. And they say, "Oh, I had a great time." And then they say, "Hey, let's do it again." And you know, I don't know why. I never had a desire to drink. And I mean, to me, it's like you don't even really understand what goes on. And when that happens, right, people black out and all kind of stuff. And then they say, but their preference is to do that rather than to be themselves. Right? A lot of them say, "Oh, it gives me courage." It makes me funny, right? I have a good time when I ask them, you can't do that without a drink? I mean, I just subtly ask these people these kind of questions. Can you do that without getting drunk? And some of them, they don't answer it because they prefer to live like that, right? So the enemy has tricked thousands, millions of people to believe the weekend is just for getting drunk, right? He's deceived them, and now this is what they prefer. Actually, there was a study, me and Chami were talking about this one time. There was a study where these people went out and they gave these people non-alcoholic beverages, but it was the same as their normal alcoholic beverages. So these people acted like they were drunk, right? The people came in from the study and said, hey, we didn't give you guys any alcohol today. And they're, yes, you did. We're drunk. We don't act like this. And he's like, no, this is non-alcoholic. We just wanted to do a study because what happens is their mind was already there. They were already ready to go do what they were going to do under the influence. So this is what I'll even say about that. The influence doesn't have anything to do with the drink. The influence is spiritual. We know that. That's why we should avoid that, right? Now, I know there's some people that might have an occasional glass of wine or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that fully indulge in getting drunk to get loose or whatever they get, try to become something that they're not, because that's really what they're doing. But they prefer that. We have to prefer God. Amen. Some people ask me, hey, Mr. Uber driver, well, Mr. Uber, some of them know, they know my name because it comes up. So what do you do? Where do you go get drinks at? What do you do? I don't do that. I don't drink. You don't drink? Wow. And the crazy thing is, people in the world will commend you for that. The same ones getting drunk, they say, oh, man, hey, that is so great. Why? Because they really wish they can do that, but their preferences have changed, and now they are dragged towards that, whether they want to or not, right? Because we know some people that don't want to drink. We know some people that don't want to do drugs, but there's something that is dragging them, and at that one instant, their preference changes, and now they are caught doing what they thought they didn't want to do. Amen? But we must prefer God at all times so that when things happen, even like what happened in Oregon, we are ready to say, I prefer God. I choose God. I don't care about the consequence. I don't care about the rejection. I don't care about the ridicule. I don't care if I have to be by myself, if I don't have to have these friends around me, I'm not surrounded by a huge crowd. If I can just have God, I will be okay. Right? This is what we have to do, because I know a lot of people that because of their stance for God or them trying to stand for God, they feel like they're by themselves. They feel like nobody cares about them. They feel like they don't have friends. But guess what? Your number one friend should always be God. And as you build your relationship with God, what begins to happen is he lets you know that you're not alone. And on top of that, as you begin to pray that God sends in people in your life, he will do that. And you must be attentive to make sure who the people that God sends are the people that, or who the people that you think God is sending are the people that God is sending. Amen? So you have to begin to look past your normal eyes. You cannot live this spiritual life preferring what the things look like in the natural. What do I mean by that? You cannot live a life with God based on what you see. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So your preferences should not be about your senses, but they should be about faith. They should be about the word. They should be, and this is something that is learned. Amen. Your preferences, how many of you know that your preferences have changed as you got older? Right? Now, we might have preferred to eat a hamburger every single day when we were kids, right? But as you get older, you start feeling that hamburger in your body and you're like, man, I need some vegetables, right? Right? So your preferences begin to change, and now you, even though you want the taste of something else, you would prefer to be healthy over just the taste. Well, let me say this. Some people prefer to be healthy over just the taste. Other people, they want that taste, right? And their body continues to need energy. They're sluggish. They need a 5-hour energy every 10 hours, right? I mean, like, I don't, man, when I think about some of this stuff that people take, they overdose on caffeine, right? That's their first coffee in the morning. Well, let me just say, you can overdose on caffeine. Did you guys know that? Right? When you have too much caffeine, what begins to happen to your body? You get jittery. You get nervous. But how many of you know that your body doesn't need caffeine? But you got to a preference where you said, I want that caffeine. I see people, like I said all the time, when people don't have coffee, they walk around like zombies. Oh, I need a coffee. If I could just get that coffee, I'll be. And then they take a drink of the coffee, and it's just like, oh, yeah. Woo, I'm ready to attack today. Right? And then we see people that one coffee's not enough. Right? I need 3 coffees. I talked to this lady that works at the gym, and I was like, try something else. Hey, do you drink energy drinks? No, I will not touch an energy drink in my life. I've seen people take it and it messed them up. Literally, their health went downhill because of an energy drink, because all it is caffeine. I've learned that if I just exercise 30 minutes or even take a nap, I can get rejuvenated without caffeine. Right? So it's possible, but people prefer what they prefer. But we have to prefer God, once again, over anything in this life. Because there's going to be many choices that we have to make, but we must make sure when it's all said and done that we learn to prefer God. Amen? See, a lot of times God will tell you what you should do, but your preference will either allow you to be obedient or not. Right? Let's go to another story. We can go to the story of Jonah. In the story of Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh. Right? How many know that Jonah heard God clearly? Right? Matter of fact, he said, Nineveh? I don't want to go to Nineveh. Why? Because it's crazy out there. I heard they're doing all kinds of stuff. God, I don't want to go to Nineveh. He heard God speak to him, but his preference was to not go. So did Jonah obey? We can say, yeah, eventually, right? Or we can say, no, he didn't. He tried to run the other way. And the same thing happens to us when God tells us a word. There's a lot of times where God has spoken words into our lives and we have not been obedient because we prefer to do it a different way. Right? But our preferences must line up with God if we are going to be called children of God. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Your preferences, if they do not line up with God, are lusts of the flesh. The Bible says, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay? Those are preferences that people choose, right? Oh, what are you looking for? I'm just looking for a friend. I'm just looking for this. I'm just looking for that. People use or have a life filled of chasing things. Every day somebody is chasing things, right? We chase things, right? When you go to your job, guess what? You are chasing a paycheck, right? Now, I'm going to tell you this. There's obviously, what is the best word? There is obviously boundaries to that because you don't get any kind of job. As believers, we don't get any kind of job to get paid, right? For example, if somebody says, hey, Marquise, you can produce for this artist in the world, and I'm a producer, and he makes millions of dollars, you can make millions of dollars, right? Now, see, some people don't understand this. They say, hey, Marquise, why don't you do that? That's your job. That's not my job. I don't produce for the world, right? And there's been times, and this is how you know that your preferences are something that you can learn to create by spending time with God. There's been times where I needed money and somebody in the world came to me and said, hey, I need that beat from you. How can I get it? I'll even pay you triple what everybody else pays you. And I say, I don't want it. I'm not going to work with you. Why? Because in this instance, unless you are going to make a godly sinner song or something, and even when I say this positive for the world is totally different than positive for a believer, right? How many of you guys know that? When you say positive these days, they just think it just doesn't mean, I mean, like, who knows what they think? But for me, it's different. But unless you're willing, for example, I'll give you guys an example because this kind of makes sense. One secular rapper, we used to see him downtown, and he acted like he was just a man, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't have money to buy the CD, but he had a Maserati, right? And he had a big old, he lived in a penthouse. I'm like, okay, cool. We talked for him. I said, man, just give him the CD. Check, give him both the CDs so we can have it. And we exchanged numbers and everything like that. Hit me up. Hey, man, we got to do something, man. Let's do something. I was like, nah, bro, what are you going to do? Oh, just get you. I was like, I don't do that. So he ended up going to Texas. And out of the blue, he just called me and was like, man, I'm trying to make a song called It's Time for Change, right? And so he rapped the chorus that he had. I was like, this is kind of interesting. Then the Spirit of God prompted me and asked him, are you serious about what you're talking about? And he was like, yeah, man, I've been going through. And I was able to lead him to the Lord over the phone. Now, we never even did the song. Like, I don't know what happened to him. After that, he was in Texas at that moment. And I think his number got disconnected. You know how trying to keep up with people sometimes is difficult. But my preference was not just to be known as an artist, because sometimes some artists do that just to be known. Some producers will do that so that they can get a big name and say, yo, I produce for whatever the rapper's name is. I could have made up a name, but I didn't want to make it too close to any of these crazy names out there. So what I'm saying is you have to learn to prefer God over instant gratification. Or not, it might not even be instant, over self-gratification. Sometimes, actually, let me rephrase this. Most of the time, you are not going to feel good when you need to do what God called you to do. Did you ever notice that? Sometimes it doesn't feel good obeying God because of the rejection that you'll get. Because when you go to do something for God, it might be less numbers than when somebody does things for the world. Right? I had a friend, we took her to a Christian concert, and he was like, man, this is cracking. Like, I was in the world going to concerts. It wasn't even as good as this. And I was like, man, okay. Well, you know, but I hear people say all the time, they go to a worldly concert. That was the greatest event ever, right? And I'm like, what was so great about it? And they can't really answer you. I for the life of me, I was like, well, I don't understand it. But it was gratifying the flesh. It was making the flesh feel good, so everybody that was there felt good. Right? Unless you were led by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, you will not be led by the flesh. So our preference has to be Spirit-led versus being led by the flesh. Right? We have to prefer this, and I'm going to say this. There has been times in my life where I did not prefer to do the thing that God wanted me to do, to even speak when God told me to speak to somebody. We all have had those Jonah moments in our lives, right, where God tells you to say something to this person, and you say, I don't know, God, they might not accept what you told me to say. I'm going to keep my mouth shut this time. And you feel bad. And God didn't give you, sometimes he might not give you a second chance. Right? At that moment for that person. But we have to learn to prefer the flesh. To not prefer the flesh, but to prefer the Spirit. Amen? There's also a story in the Bible. I'm actually going to go to that next week. Let's go to Joshua 24, verse 14 through 18, and then I'm going to close. Joshua 24, verse 18. And it says, you got it, Mike? Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. All right? Let's go. And it says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose. Now, this is something I was going to say earlier. God, even, and let me say this first. This does not mean that God is for abortion, right? God is not for that, right? But he is pro-choice for you in your life. Because, why do I say this? Because God could have made all of us choose to be robots, and he could have made us be exactly, Monica, say this every 5 minutes. Michael, say this every 10 minutes. Jane, say this. He could have made us like that. Right? But he's given us the choice to choose him or not. Amen? So God gives us all a choice. And guess what? These choices are daily. Amen? Daily, you must make a choice to prefer God. It says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day who you will serve. Somebody say, today, I choose Christ. That means that I prefer God. Choose this day, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua breaks it down. He says, look, you guys choose. Go ahead, choose what you're going to do. And this is what we do today. People come to church and we expect, we hope that they choose Christ. We encourage them to choose Christ, but they have to make the choice on their own, right? But just like Joshua says, but as for me, when it comes to the choice for me, I'm choosing God. Why? Because he is my hope. He is my joy. We were singing the song, he is my peace. People run to things in the world because they're looking for hope. They're trying to find hope. Maybe it's in this relationship. If I can get with this person, I can have hope. Maybe if I can get this job, I can have peace. Maybe if I go out to this club or go out to this place, I can get joy. But we know that God is our hope and our peace and our joy. because that's who we've chosen. But until the world sees some people that are saying, look, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, they need to see those people. Amen. They need to see Monica make a decision to say, I'm not going to live like that because I've chose to live for Christ. I prefer God over anything that you have to offer me. Amen. Same, Michael, when you prefer God over anything that the world has, people in the world, they'll begin to get curious. Like, man, are you serious? You don't do that at all? Don't you want to fill in the blank? Don't you? And you're like, no, why? Because I'm confident in Christ. I'm fully satisfied with my relationship with God. Amen. And when you're not satisfied with your relationship with God, you have to get to a place where you say, okay, God, allow me to hunger and thirst for righteousness so that I can be filled. Amen. Allow me to get to a place where I search you out and I'm satisfied with you. A lot of times we get into a relationship with Christ and we feel we almost feel like we need a spiritual caffeine boost, right? We feel sleepy. We feel sluggish. But let me tell you this. When you begin to get back into the presence of God, when you begin to do the things that God has called you to do, you will begin to be rejuvenated. Amen. As you do what God has placed in your heart and as you spend time with him, as you spend that quality time with God, he will begin to increase your spirit man. He will begin to feed your spirit man. Then you can walk and say, this is what I prefer. I prefer to be with God over anything else. Why? Because why? Why do you prefer God? Because I felt God and I know that his presence is real. I've seen him change my life. I've seen him even change my mind. As the truth said, I didn't have a horror story. I grew up in church, right? And people say, you grew up in church, you didn't do nothing. That was me. Why? Because I learned that my relationship with God is more valuable than friends. How many of you know those same friends that you thought we would be best friends forever, BFFs, right? Some of them you don't even talk to anymore, right? You guys ever had people like that in your life? They were your best friend. You did everything together. Now you don't even talk because life just moves on. But how many of you know that you don't want your relationship with God to end like that? You want that to stay with you, and it can stay as long as you prefer him over anything else. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to come back to that scripture. I'm going to stop there. Amen. Dear God, we just pray to God that you would give us a heart to prefer you over any and everything else, oh God. God, right now, dear God, even the things that you're speaking to your people, dear God, after they heard this sermon, dear God, I pray, dear God, that they would move and act on all that you are telling them, oh God. That they be obedient, oh God. Dear God, we all have had instances like Jonah where we may have walked away, where we may have departed from what you've told us to do. But God, I thank you, dear God, that you love us. I thank you, dear God, that you draw us back, oh God. And I thank you, dear God, that you allow us to prefer you more than the things of this world. And Jesus, we pray to God that you be with us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. This was impactful. Raise your hand.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.